Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
I want either want a peacocky puppet, or I want a guy in a peacock suit. But it's not the official NBC peacock. It's the brother of the NBC peacock. And he's kind of a drunk. You know what I mean? He's like a drunk peacock.
Yeah, go with that one.
Yeah, exactly. He's bitter at his brother, who's the NBC peacock.
He's getting all the shine right there.
He's not that guy. It's the put upon brother. That's my dream. And his name is Peacocky.
All right, we're going to get a break. Awesome.
Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's.
Don't any of you bastards out there steal my drunk peacock idea. He's mine and mine only. That's going to happen sooner rather than later if I have anything to say about it. I really actually don't. It is noon on a Thursday on Peacock. Not drunk peacock.
No,
my cousin Peacocky,
yes,
that I want to do, or my drunk brother doesn't exist yet, except in my mind. But it is 5 o'clock somewhere, Jay Croucher. I'm Matthew Berry. Welcome into the happy hour and the set. It's love hate day, brother.
It is love hate day.
Yeah.
How'd the column go?
Column went well. It'll be up very soon. It's always a struggle. It's always a challenge. I got to be honest with you. There are weeks when I think like, oh man, this one's going to be tough. And then I get into it, and I'm like, oh, okay, you know what? I found a groove, and I'm just going. And then this week was going to be an easy week, and it wasn't.
Okay.
This week was like, oh, this one, I got this one. This one, I know exactly what I'm doing. And then it ended up taking a lot longer than I thought. But it'll be good when it gets out there. I'm looking forward to it. Little piece of housekeeping, just because since I wrote this about last week and last week's Love Hate, and I don't remember if we talked about it on the show, but I've gotten a lot of people asking about this. Cheshire High School football did not advance in the state semifinals, unfortunately. They lost to New Canaan 23-13. Very tough game. Questionable holding call. Yeah. Brought back a touchdown against Cheshire. Cheshire scored a touchdown, and there was a late flag and a questionable holding call. But, you know, what are you going to do? New Canaan's a good team. I wish them luck in the state finals. And, you know, my kid in the high school, the Cheshire Rams, they finished top four in the state.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
It's a good result.
That's a good day at the office.
I've been told that not since Nicole Roby Coleman's hit in the NFC title game in New Orleans has there been a more egregious uncalled penalty than that holding call, but we will get to the Los Angeles
Listen,
Rams later.
I think if you went back and looked at the tape, it's probably holding, but they let a lot of stuff go. It was one of those things, it's more like the Super Bowl last year, where they let everything go and then they called the ticky-tack pass interference.
Yes.
It's a little bit of that. Probably was holding, but also there was holding throughout the game that wasn't called, and you're just like, it was a ticky-tack, could have gone either way kind of call. I don't know that it was a questionable call is what I'm going to say.
You just want consistency, and we'll
That's
find.
All we ask. That's all we ask for, even though we don't always necessarily deliver consistency.
No, but we will now with the Roto World headlines.
Oh,
let's jump into it. Another youngster. He wasn't playing for Cheshire, but he will be playing for the Atlanta Falcons when we come out of their bye in a week's time. And that's Desmond Ridder, NFL Network, reporting that he will start against the Saints in week 15. And that's been confirmed. So it's going to be the Desmond Ridder show.
Yeah.
What does this do fantasy-wise for the Falcons?
I don't know that it does anything, to be honest with you. First off, I'm happy for the kid, by the way. And my buddy AJ Vaynerchuk, who is one of the guys that runs Vayner Sports, that's their guy, Desmond Ridder. So shout out to my guy AJ. Thrilled for him, thrilled for the kid. They're on a bye this week. So it makes sense that they're making the change now, because now they've got 2 weeks to prepare him for the Saints. And so I think it's I don't know that there's I think it's a bigger NFL story than I think it is a fantasy one, because it's a run-heavy offense, and they're facing the Saints, who we expect to have Marshawn Lattimore back then. And you just sort of think about the fantasy football schedule. I don't mind picking up in a two quarterback league, a dynasty league, a super flex league, something. I mean, he's already rostered in a dynasty league, but you're in a two quarterback league, a deep league, a super flex league, you're desperate at quarterback. I don't mind it because we expect there to be some rushing upside here, but like next week is week 15, the first week of the playoffs in most fantasy leagues. And so if you're in the playoffs, chances are you have solid quarterback play. Are you really going to start Desmond Ridder without having seen him in the first week of the playoffs against the Saints? You're not.
No. And I think, look, this Saints defense is good. It's shown that it's good. They held the 49ers to 13 points. They held Tom Brady to nothing, basically, for 3.5 quarters. So with Lattimore back, I think that this Saints defense, it's not one that you want. I think the Saints at -4.5 in that game are a bet. I think that'll close like 6 or 7.
And honestly, again, you just think about this Falcons offense that's 31st in passing yards per game and 31st in pass attempts per game. Like, it's a very run-heavy offense. I don't suddenly think, oh, now all of a sudden Drake London's going to go off or something like that. No Kyle Pitts. Like, I just, you're not going to want anyone on Atlanta other than maybe Cordero Patterson. I expect them to continue to be run heavy. And so I don't mind if you want to stash him in a deep league and see what you get out of him. But no, I think it's a bigger NFL story than it is necessarily a fantasy one.
Yep. You don't really want any Falcons, but you do want some Jags if Trevor Lawrence plays against the Titans on the weekend. And he has said that he expects to play with that, with the gruesome injury that turns out to be not so serious. So it looks like Trevor Lawrence is going to play, in which case you start, obviously you're starting Christian Kirk, Travis Etienne, who was in Keep It Open or Closes Out for us yesterday. Obviously you're starting him as well.
Yeah, I mean, just so you know, I mean, it is love hate day. So I'll tell you that Christian Kirk made my love list. Travis Etienne made my hate list. But as we talked about yesterday on Keep It Open and Closing Out, there are six teams on a bye. I don't know that you have the luxury or the depth to bench Travis Etienne. Love, hate, always about expectations. I'm lowering expectations for Travis Etienne, but I'm still, which is why he makes the hate list, but you're still keeping it open a little bit there in terms of probably playing him, just lowering expectations. Good news there on Trevor Lawrence, who missed practice Wednesday. Yes, Tennessee, again, they allow the fourth most fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks this season. They're giving up the fourth most passing yards per game over the last month. Maybe that secondary is one of the reasons why John Robinson is no longer with the Tennessee Titans. I don't know. They were in first place despite their secondary woes. Like, I don't know. I'd have kept John Robinson if I was the owner of the Titans, but you know what I am? Not the owner of the Titans, so it's not my call
but
to make.
You know what we are? We're a football show, and the Denver Broncos are one of the 32 teams in the
They're
NFL.
They're a football
so
team.
We have to talk about them. Cortland Sutton has a hamstring injury. He's unlikely to play. They're playing the Kansas City Chiefs. That's going to be an ugly, ugly game. What does this mean fantasy-wise? I mean, it's good for Jerry Jeudy. It's good for Greg Dulcich.
Yeah, maybe. You know, I mean, again, we talk about this fact, how the Chiefs are one of the teams in the NFL that teams throw against the most, which makes sense. It's just a stat to tell you what you already know, is that the Chiefs score a lot of points and teams often have to play catch-up against them as well. And so Dulcich is kind of interesting. He's a top-10 fantasy tight end for me. 35% target share for him last week, or actually 38%, I'm sorry. Misread my number here. And look, you think about last week, 85 yards. No Cortland Sutton here. I'm not the biggest Jerry Jeudy fan. I mean, yes, he's had at least 60 yards in each of the past three healthy games. So he's wide receiver 26 for me. I think he's more floor than upside.
He's uninspiring, Jerry Jeudy.
He is uninspiring as well. Again, week six teams on a bye, you may need to. It is a decent matchup. I mean, I will say that the Chiefs allow the fourth most fantasy points to opposing wide receivers. I'm not excited about starting Jerry Jeudy. Like, I guess he's usable.
They're 9.5-point dogs, so they should be throwing.
They should be throwing. They're going to be throwing with Russell Wilson. It's whatever. Jerry Jeudy is a usable wide receiver three. He just, to your point, I think uninspiring is the perfect word for him. But I do think Dulcich is kind of interesting here as a top-10 fantasy tight end based on what we saw last week.
Let's go to a more inspiring team, my New York Jets. And Michael Carter.
You know what's interesting? I want to give you credit here. Because you jump around, you are a fantasy kangaroo. You are a betting kangaroo. You are
BK.
Yeah, you BK. That's a good nickname for you, is BK. Like, you're a betting kangaroo because you bounce around from team to team to team. Like, you don't really have any loyalty.
No.
Like a true degenerate, you
Man
just sort of like
country.
Who's making you money? That's my team this week. You know what I mean? Like, if you could show up, you know. If Baker, you could show up in a Baker Mayfield Rams jersey tomorrow morning if he ends up going off tonight, because there's a chance he may actually start tonight. We can talk about that in a second. But so you're like this betting kangaroo that you sort of bounce around. We need to get you a pouch too. I want to get you a pouch. Maybe I'm just thinking that this is just so you know, this is what it's like to be in a meeting with me. This is how annoying it is. It's like so unbelievably annoying because I just sort of bounce around all over the thing. But let's Peacocky, you know, our upcoming character Peacocky, the drunk cousin of the actual NBC Peacock, needs a buddy. He can't be alone. He can't be a friend. So he needs like the betting kangaroo, which is like you. It should look like you. It would get it like you. And he wears a bunch of every day. He's in a different jersey. Because that's you.
Love to be in the maze of your sick mind one day, just going around between the Peacocky puppet and the betting kangaroo puppet.
Like, when I tell you my wife is an angel and a saint on earth, you have no idea. You have no idea. Anyway, all I was going to say
about Michael Carter?
Yeah, I was going to give you some props because you have stuck by the Jets longer than I think any team than you have this year.
I do feel an affinity to the New York Jets. I really like Robert Saleh, I really like Sauce Gardner, and I really like Bam Knight.
Yeah.
And Michael Carter.
It's a good nickname team.
Yes.
It's a good nickname. We need
Bam, Sauce.
We just need Mike White needs a nickname.
Yeah, well, we can
Danger
work on
Mike
that.
White. That's yeah. not, it's Russ.
We'll
workshop it.
But there's something there with Mike White, because it cannot be Mike White.
No.
But Michael Carter, selfishly, has gotten healthy to try and derail the Bam wagon. He's not on the injury report, but I think you're still starting Bam Knight regardless, right?
I am. I mean, and again, and like, I'm, this is coming from two places, right? Number one, it's just the eye test.
Yeah,
Bam Knight can
good.
Play. He can play. And the other thing is again, our friend Connor Rogers, who does such a great job covering the team, he's just like, when he's like, listen, they like Bam Knight. We talked about this last on Monday with Connor, and Connor was very clear. He's just like, they view Michael Carter as more of a three down back, a passing down back, a change of pace guy. They believe Bam Knight can do it all. My expectation here is that Bam Knight, of the two, like if I had both running backs, I prefer Bam Knight. He's my running back 22. Michael Carter's running back 32. Since Breece Hall got injured, he's averaging 11 touches a game. This is Michael Carter. 11 touches a game. Again, they don't want him to be that guy. And so in a game in which I know he's the passing down back and they're playing the Bills and they're underdogs there, but you and I both think this game is probably closer than other people do. I mean, this is a team that beat the Bills the first time they played. Obviously, Buffalo is aware. I think the current line's like 3.5 or something like that?
No, because it's in Buffalo, so it's higher.
Okay.
So it's in the 8 range at the moment.
8 range?
Buffalo, yeah. People
love the Buffalo Bills. Give me the Jets to cover.
Yeah.
Give me the Jets to cover at BetMGM, where I'll use promo code Barry. I'm a company man. So Bam Knight played 35% of the snaps even prior to the Michael Carter injury in Week 12. Again, had a role. We've talked about this Bills defense, which I think is more susceptible than we think. Last 4 weeks, they're giving up 125 yards from scrimmage to opposing running backs as well. My expectation of this game is that Bam, I don't know if I can bet on this, but I bet Bam Knight will have more total touches in this game than Michael Carter. Both, I think, are viable in a week with six teams on a bye, but I prefer Bam Knight to Michael Carter, even though we expect Carter to play. He's not on the injury report as of this broadcast.
All right, I'm with you there. Let's jump into running back love hate. We bring up the graphic.
Now, should we have talked about in Roto World headlines? Should we have talked about the fact that they're going to try John Walford out in the game tonight?
Yeah.
The Rams Raiders, which is the Thursday night game, they're gonna have Walford like, but he's been banged up. They're gonna have him go through pregame warmups, but there is a chance that A, they don't feel he's good enough, and they start Baker Mayfield. Or if nothing else, there's a chance we see Baker Mayfield tonight.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. This guy was a Carolina Panther on Monday. It's Thursday.
Yeah. We're going to dive into that at the end of the show, but I don't think it really matters. I just don't think it really matters. Who's it going to be? Like, is he going to throw? Who's going to be better for two?
Now you don't need to tune into the end of the show. You just killed that.
No, there'll be some
you
other
good spoil
stuff.
You spoil that. This is what he does. He spoils endings of movies. He spoils endings of the show.
We got a whole 13 minutes on Cam Akers. You won't want to miss it.
Okay.
And you won't want to miss there running back love hate. We were talking about Bam Knight.
You know what? One of the reasons I want the drunk peacock
Is
because it'll be a drinking buddy.
Yeah.
Like me, like when you're doing stuff like spoiling the show, I can like, hey, peacocky, let's throw back a couple.
It's going to show up there one day and it's going to be terrifying.
It's going to be fantastic.
We should get a Marlon Mack puppet as well.
What do you think is funnier? Is it funnier to have like, because we know, I know from my old job, I know a puppet guy. Like there's a, believe it or not, UConn has one of the top puppet departments in the entire country. the University of Connecticut right here in our state. So, like, they built all the puppets. The UConn puppet department built all of our puppets for my old show.
Does your puppet guy know Brian Robinson's Big Hat Guy? It's a very strange
Probably.
Kind of
guy. Probably very similar. But I'm just saying, like, do you think it's funnier to have a puppet peacock or a guy in a full peacock outfit?
I think the guy is terrifying. The idea of a human being there is too much. I think the puppet is the play.
Mm.
Yeah. Anyway. Tell us what you think.
I'm going to make a PA be the peacock.
Okay. All right. Not looking forward to that. No, let's talk about Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott, who lit up the Colts in prime time. And they have a very, very favorable matchup against the very, very bad Houston Texans run defense, and they're both on the love list.
Yeah, I mean, I think both guys are viable in this game. We've talked about the Texans' run defense or lack thereof throughout the season. They've given up the most rushing. No team in the NFL has given up more rushing touchdowns to opposing running backs this year than the Houston Texans. In the games in which Zeke has been active, the last three games in which Zeke has been healthy and active, Tony Pollard is still averaging over 18 touches a game. Ezekiel Elliott, five straight games with 15 or more fantasy points and a touchdown. He's got seven total touchdowns over that stretch. They use Pollard to get down to the field. They like using Zeke as the hammer when they get in close. Again, Houston gives up a ton. To me, Pollard, who's a top 10 play this week, Zeke is a top 15 play. Both guys are loves. You had me at Houston.
Yes, indeed. All right, let's go to DeAndre Swift, who hasn't been on this list in a long time, but he makes the love list with a favorable matchup against the Vikings.
First time since week eight last week, DeAndre Swift actually played 51% of the snaps and out-snapped Jamal Williams. Again, that's the first time that's happened in 6 weeks. Had multiple touches inside the 10-yard line, which is exciting, right? Because Williams is such a vulture there. And it's worth noting, like, again, Detroit is favored in this game.
Yeah.
We expect a ton of points to be scored, and the Vikings are bottom five in the NFL in terms of most receptions and receiving yards allowed to opposing running backs. They use Swift in the passing game quite a bit. DeAndre Swift, it's been a long, strange, windy road, but welcome back to the love list, DeAndre Swift, top 15 play for me this week. He's my running back 13.
Welcome back, DeAndre.
And
welcome back, Deonta Foreman, who gets to play the Seattle Seahawks a couple weeks after they let Josh Jacobs get 303 yards from scrimmage against them.
Yeah, now understand, he did not practice yesterday, had the foot injury. I'm not worried right yet because, I mean, he was banged up going into his last game and crushed, and he's coming off the bye. So the I wonder if it's just sort of a maintenance day. If he misses today, then, of course, we can panic. But if for some reason Foreman is not playing, Chuba Hubbard would also make the love list in his place. Again, over the last 4 weeks, this is a great matchup against Seattle.
Yep.
Over the last month, Seahawks giving up 168 rushing yards per game to opposing running backs. That is most in the NFL. They've given up multiple rushing touchdowns to running backs in two straight games now. I mean, they gave up two to the ghost of Cam Akers last week, Jay Croucher. Like, ooh, you know,
exactly. For 13 minutes later on the show.
13 minutes. Cannot wait. Tell me you don't need a drunk peacock on this show. Anyway, since Christian McCaffrey was traded to the San Francisco 49ers, Deontay Foreman has 110 rushing yards or more in four of the six games. You see it right there on your screen, what his game log has been since CMC went to Tampa Bay. Deontay Foreman, who every time this kid gets a chance, I mean, like, it's such a great story. This is a guy that was a star at the University of Texas, then got drafted by the pros, had a brutal injury. I believe he played for the Texans. And had just an absolutely brutal injury. Didn't know if he was going to come back. He was out of football for a while. Gets signed by the Titans after the Derrick Henry injury as a reclamation project. Unbelievable down the stretch for Tennessee last year. You know, nice little signing there by John Robinson, currently unemployed John Robinson. And I'm going to keep pointing out good things that John Robinson did for the Titans because I don't think he should have been fired.
John.
Anyway, and, you know, now he's with Carolina, once again, getting an opportunity and proving what he can do.
Keeps producing. All right, let's go to some others receiving votes, headlined by another guy who keeps producing of late, Isaiah Pacheco.
Pacheco's getting the work. He's had four straight games with 15 touches or more. Broncos allow over 100 rushing yards to running backs. Four of the last six, we expect Kansas City to be up and up big here. I bet you Pacheco gets in the end zone. It's a top 20 play for me. And then James Cook right there as well. Last 4 weeks, your New York Jets, what's going on with your New York Jets, Jay. Explain to me why your Jets are allowing 156 scrimmage yards per game to opposing running backs over the last 4 weeks.
Well, the strength of the team is Sauce Gardner plays on the left, DJ Reed plays on the right, and the whole defense is built around having two superstar cornerbacks. And, against running backs, against tight ends, Jets, not so good. be scared for your wide receivers, but other guys, not so bad.
James Cook got 20 touches last week, looked like the best running back on their team. He makes the love list as well. In the others receiving votes, I think he's viable this week.
Okay.
Again, six teams are on a bye. A lot of people are viable.
Yeah. Okay. You do like to flip-flop sometimes, and Damian Pierce was on the love list last week.
Wait a minute. You change teams more often than I change underwear. Like, what? Like
that's okay. I don't change for who I love and who I hate in the running back position as frequently as you do. I do understand. It is matchup-based, and now Damian Pierce gets the Dallas Cowboys after a much more favorable matchup against the Browns, where he was alive, and he did some stuff, but against Dallas.
He had almost 100 yards, but yeah, against Dallas, I mean, look, the fact of the matter is, we've talked about this, Texans are 16.5-point underdogs at this point. It opened at 17.5. I guess teams think the Texans are going to plucky and move down to 16.5, but whatever. You know, they're more than two touchdown underdogs here, and there's six games this year in which Houston has lost the game by more than 10 points. And in those games in which they've had double-digit losses, and again, we expect the Cowboys to win by more than 10 points, Damian Pierce is averaging just 10 fantasy points per game. Only five times has Dallas allowed a rushing touchdown to a running back this year. That's top five in the NFL. It's just hard to see him getting in the end zone, hard to see him having a lot of success here. He's running back 20 for me. And you're like, how can running back 20 make the hate list? Again, six teams on a bye. It's all about expectations. You probably don't have a choice to start him, but I would lower expectations here. And Uncle Lenny makes the hate list as well, Leonard Fournette. On the road at Tampa Bay. At San Francisco for Tampa Bay. Maybe I got drunk with a peacock before the show. I'm all over the place in this segment. Look, the fact of the matter is Fournette is splitting time with Rashad White. We don't like that. And we don't like the fact that he's facing the Niners. Second fewest yards per reception to running backs. Second fewest rushing yards per game to running backs. Like, they're good against running backs, however you use them.
Yep.
And so, like, in a tough matchup, in a timeshare, like, hard to see him as anything more than a touchdown-dependent flex.
Indeed. All right, we're going to go to break. Matthew's going to call his puppet guy. When we come back,
I'm going to try to sober up.
Pass catcher, love, hate.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the tree of life? Did you? If you could. Would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Download the RotoWorld app to receive breaking player news all season long. Stay ahead of the competition by favoriting players on your roster and get the latest injury updates, player news, plus much more delivered right to your phone. It's available in the App Store today. All right, let's do pass, catch, or love, hate. Headlines.
You know what's interesting? During the break.
What's interesting?
I'm going to tell you. I like to reveal, take the viewer behind the curtain, the listener behind
the curtain.
Inside baseball. I know people see me and they see me like, oh, that guy's really put together and the show is so fancy and, you know, just how slick. But just it's not always super smooth behind the scenes. And I just want everyone to know that I'm currently doing the commercial breaks. I'm fighting with my producers about peacocky.
Yeah. It's true.
About my drunk peacock costume and cousin costume. Anyway, I just want you guys to know. You think it's all harmonious, and it's not. Not everyone's on board with what I believe to be the best idea of the 2022 football season.
Unbelievable.
I just want to know.
Yeah, producer like, Steven wants you to know it was more of a tiff than an actual, you know, an acrimonious
fight. I'm just saying there has not been unanimous support yet. And yet, just mark my words, go ahead and clip this off. When he debuts, he's going to be a massive hit.
Okay.
I don't know how and when everyone's going to love him. He's going to love him. And I cannot wait for the Universal Kids movie about peacocky. Because he's going to be like, there's going to be like lessons learned, like about, you know, jealousy about your brother and everything like that. Don't, I got a whole plan.
This
don't
is
you worry about
one
it.
One of your stranger
no one
sides.
No one, none of you animals out there steal my drunk peacock idea.
Yeah. None of you animals. All
right. That's right.
Let's talk about Christian Kirk.
If a drunk peacock shows up on Sims Unbuttoned, I'm going to lose I'm going to lose it. I'm just saying that right now.
All right. I'll text Chris. I'll say you keep your hands off.
Keep your drunk grubby peacock. Hands.
Yeah. I know you want this, Chris Sims.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
What do you want to talk about?
Sure.
Let's talk about Christian Kirk.
We already talked about him.
Yeah.
Look, we already talked about the matchup here against the Titans, right? They allow the most fantasy points per game to opposing wide receivers. They give the fifth most receptions per game to the slot.
Yep.
Which is obviously where Kirk lines up. And Kirk's now had five straight games with a target share of 24% or better. My expectation here is they're not going to be able to run on Tennessee. They will have to run. They will have to throw, whatever thrun is. They will have to throw. So Christian Kirk, former Texas A&M Aggie, Giggum. Aggies did not make a bowl game this year, but Christian Kirk continues to play, and I think he will play. I think he'll play in the playoffs this year, in the fantasy playoffs, that is. And as you see it there on your screen, just, you know, Trevor Lawrence, who we expect to play, looks for him early and often. I was a top 13 play this week, Christian Kirk.
Yeah, Christian Kirk going against the defense that allowed the Philadelphia Eagles to light them up, and Devonta Smith against the Giants, which is basically an equally friendly matchup, is on the love list.
He is. You know what I mean? It's interesting. If you look at his usage, especially since Dallas Goedert went down, it's been massive. He now has four straight games with eight or more targets. Last 4 weeks, these Giants, the New York Giants, are allowing the third most yards per game to perimeter wide receivers. I mean, McLaurin had a huge game against them. Jahan Dotson last week had the big play as well. Dory Jackson has missed the last two games. Looks at the moment unlikely to play as well. That's a hit to that secondary. It certainly has been for New York. So Devontae Smith, I think he's a top 20 play this week.
Yep, I like that look on Devontae Smith. Now, revenge game stock.
Devontae? Yeah, not Deontay.
You said Deontay,
like Deontay
Johnson.
I'm
so confused about the name because everyone says Devonta or Devontae, and no
I
one.
I believe it's Devontae, but I don't know that for. I mean, I've never met the man, so
yes.
You know, and a lot of times when there's mispronunciation about players,
They
will, you know, NFL players will often not correct the media or whatever. They're just like, and I remember the most famous one is Alvin Kamara. And they were like, well, is it Alvin Kamara or Alvin Kamara?
Yeah.
It's just like, both are fine.
Whatever.
He literally said, like, my mom calls me one, but, you know, in college, everyone calls me, you know. And so we still, I believe it is Kamara, but I've also, I mean, I've heard Kamara. Who knows?
Easier if everyone's just called Mike White.
Fair enough.
Uniform.
Anyway,
I think it's
Devontae Smith.
Yep.
Anyway, D. Smith for the Eagles.
Yeah, he's going to go off. Now,
we like him.
Revenge game stock as a product. Stock is soaring at the moment after what A.J. Brown did to the Titans. Revenge game coming up for T.J. Hockenson going up against the Detroit Lions.
You know, it's interesting that since the Vikings traded for T.J. Hockenson, they're 4-1.
Yeah.
Since the Lions traded away T.J. Hockenson, they're 4-1.
Yeah.
It's just clear that if you want to turn your season around, just have some sort of a transaction involving T.J. Hockenson.
Way.
It is a revenge game as T.J. Hockenson comes back to Detroit to face his former team. And I think he'll have success here. I mean, Lions do allow the fifth highest catch rate to opposing tight ends. The sixth highest catch rate to opposing tight ends. They're tied for the second most touchdowns allowed to opposing tight ends. And Hockenson, who has multiple red zone targets in three of the last five games with the Minnesota Vikings, in a game in which, as we've talked about, has one of the highest over-unders on this slate in week 14, I'm as my number three tight end. Only after Kelce and Andrews.
Yep, it's going to be a very high-scoring game. Total is sailing over 50 there.
I want as much of that game as I can get, which leads us into others receiving votes.
Sure.
And Adam Thielen.
Wow, you're mad.
Look at me.
Didn't you close it out on Adam Thielen yesterday?
Lawrence did. I kept it open.
Okay, but you were both
for watching the show.
Negative. Yeah, okay.
Look, the fact of the matter is, Lawrence was more negative. No. I mentioned the fact that Adam Thielen,
wide receiver 28, that range.
I'm at 25.
Okay,
but I'm keeping. If there was ever a week to use Adam Thielen, I think this is it. Again, Lions have allowed 75 yards to multiple wide receivers in the same game four different times this year. You know Jefferson's going to get his, but I do think Thielen, who had a 6-for-61 in a touchdown game against these same Lions in Week 3, I believe he's usable. DJ Shark makes the list as well. He's now had five or more targets in four of his last five healthy games so far this season. Again, I talking about that game, the Vikings-Lions won as much as I can. Shark should be usable against a Vikings team that allows the most yards per game to wide receivers. Nico Collins, Brandon Cooks didn't practice yesterday. They're 16.5-point underdogs. Should be some junk time for Nico Collins. And how about Hunter Henry? Start your tight ends against the Arizona Cardinals. No team in the NFL. There's not one. You couldn't find a team in the NFL, Jay Croucher, that has allowed more receptions, more yards, or touchdowns to opposing tight ends this season. And so Henry, who's run a route on 76% of Mac Jones' dropbacks over the last 2 weeks, I think he's a viable streamer this week.
Yep, stats for Henry would look a lot better if he'd given that touchdown on Thanksgiving.
He caught that. By the way, that was a touchdown.
Yep, hated that call. Let's talk about pass catches that you hate. Gabe Davis, who has not done much lately.
Going against your Jets here. I mean, like, again, it's always nerve-wracking to put him on the hate list because all he needs is one play. And, you know, my attitude all year long on Gabe Davis has been, like, you either have to start him every week or bench him every week. I will say, though, he makes the hate list because in a week in which six teams are on a bye, I'm not as optimistic about Gabe Davis as I have been in previous weeks. It's certainly been, not great for Gabe Davis. We talked about the last game. You know, they missed on a couple of connections here. But, look, 49% of Gabe Davis' targets this year have come on deep passes. Like, that's how they use him in this offense. Like, they really like to take deep shots for him. Well, the Jets allow the lowest completion rate on deep passes. They defend the deep pass really, really well. My expectation is that they will do that again on Sunday. And so the Jets, who give up the third fewest fantasy points to opposing wide receivers, you know, this is a tough matchup for Gabe Davis. He comes in at wide receiver 30. Juju Smith-Schuster, also on the hate list. Under 40 yards and 5 targets in both games since he returned from the concussion. We talked about him yesterday on the show. Broncos allow the second fewest yards per game to wide receivers. They're also really good against the slot recently as well. So Juju Smith-Schuster makes the hate list outside my top 25.
Sorry, Juju. That's all right. We're going to go to break. When we come back, quarterback love, hate, including Jared Goff, our good friend, Mr. Goff.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. Because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
I feel like I am playing the best football in my career right now. And, starting to settle in a little bit. And Ben and I have a good thing going. And still a lot of work to do. And we can always improve and look at ways to get better. But I am comfortable and hope to continue that through the season.
That was Detroit Lions quarterback Jared Goff.
And the Ben he references, Ben Johnson, who's the offense coordinator of the Detroit Lions, who's done a phenomenal job this year. You know what I mean? Like, Ben Johnson also, like, if he had a name like Jim Bob Cooter, who's a former offense coordinator of the Lions, like, you know, then, like, we all love him. But Ben Johnson's so boring. It's such a boring name.
Yeah. He should be a head coaching candidate,
right,
I think.
Yeah. Jim Bob Johnson. Like, now we're talking about the offense coordinator. But that was who Jared was talking about, Jared Goff, the sound you just heard. He is playing really well. He's playing well in the NFL, and he's playing well for the Detroit Lions and fantasy managers as well, especially when he's at home as he is this week. When he's played under the dome in Detroit, he's averaging 20.5 fantasy points per game. He's got multiple touchdown passes in 6 of his 7 home games this year. And we love this matchup with the Minnesota Vikings, a theme that we've talked about throughout this show. They've allowed 300 passing yards in 4 straight games, the Vikings have. Like, they give it up.
Yep. When I was talking to Chris Sims before, actually, in between moments when he was trying to steal your peacock puppet idea. But while he wasn't doing that, he was telling me how the reason that Mac Jones was so good against the Vikings then wasn't good against the Bills is that, like, the Vikings, they just play cover 4 or cover 2. It's very easy to solve what they're doing. You know who also likes uncomplicated defenses? Jared Goff. So I think that he's going to play really well in a game where the total is 51.5. So I think Goff will light them up. But on the other side,
by the way,
Kirk Cousins.
You want an interesting fact about Jared Goff?
Sure.
So his fiance is a woman named Kristen Harper, who is a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model. And they met, this is a story that she's doing some press, and so this came, they met on a dating app.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm just like, for people out there that are like, I'm lonely, I should go on a dating app, that kind of stuff. Who's on there?
Quarterback.
Sports Illustrated swimsuit models on dating apps.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Jared Goff still looking ridiculously like Ryan
and
Gosling.
And apparently NFL quarterbacks.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I don't really get that. It's not like Jared Goff. I don't know. I'm going to continue that thought.
No, go ahead.
Don't you think he looks ridiculously like Ryan Gosling? Isn't it eerie? They look exactly the same.
Look, he's a good-looking guy.
The guy from Drive is playing quarterback for the Lions.
Jared Goff is a good-looking guy. He's an NFL starting quarterback. He's insanely rich.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, why not?
Yeah, I don't think he's on the same app that I would download. married with three kids.
Yeah, exactly. You're just like lonely TV host.com, something like that.
Kirk Cousins.
Let's talk about Kirk Cousins, not married to a swimsuit Sports Illustrated model, as far as I know. And also don't know where Kirk Cousins met his wife.
No.
Where did you meet your wife?
At my university in Australia.
Okay.
At like an Australian Football League grand final party.
Okay.
You know Australian football? You ever watch Australian football?
Sure, of course.
It's a really good sport.
Yeah, sure, of course.
It's like soccer,
isn't it?
It's
like rugby, but different.
Yes, exactly. That's the way to describe it. Anyway, where did you meet your wife? At a bar, right?
Mail order bride. I just, on the internet. It's a long story. The very short version of it is that I, and this is a great idea, by the way, for anyone, especially with that. So I threw a Valentine's Day party, which I've done for a number of years. And I threw a Valentine, when I moved to Connecticut, I threw a Valentine's Day party. And the rule of the Valentine's Day party is whether you were in a relationship or not, to get into the party, you had to bring your most eligible single friend of the opposite sex.
Yes.
So, you know, guys brought girls brought guys, that kind of thing. And so she was the friend of a friend.
Genius, Barry.
And so,
genius.
So I met her at my Valentine's Day party.
You've
and so
well.
She became my Valentine 15 years later.
Well played.
So,
and Kirk Cousins is your Valentine
today.
Kirk Cousins
is my Valentine in week 14. He certainly makes the love list. Again, we want as much of this game as we can get. It's a recurring theme here. Kirk Cousins playing the Detroit Lions. Quarterbacks that have attempted at least 35 passes against the Lions this year, averaging 23.9 fantasy points per game. Cousins has attempted at least 35 passes in 10 of the past 12 games. We expect this to be a high-scoring game, especially because the Lions allow the most fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah,
Kirk Cousins, top 10 play this week.
Yep, I like it. All right, let's get to some others receiving votes, including Tyler Huntley, who's almost certainly going to be filling in for Lamar Jackson.
The rushing keeps his floor high. Look, he's quarterback 14 in what we expect to be a low-scoring game against the Steelers. But, you know, in the six games in which he's played at least 80% of the snaps over the last six games, he's averaging 15.9 fantasy points per game. He's averaging 54 rushing yards. He had at least 30 pass attempts in these games. So I think the running will keep his floor high. Certainly when T.J. Watt is bearing down on you, you take off and run. How about Ryan Tannehill? Winning one for John Robinson, maybe. Anyway, Ryan Tannehill's a rich man, and John Robinson, the man who gave him that contract, I believe. Last four quarterbacks to face the Jags have all scored at least 18 fantasy points. Last 4 weeks, Jaguars also allowing touchdown passes at the second highest rate. So I like Ryan Tannehill as a mid-tier QB2 this week. And the needs a nickname Mike White of your fight in New York Jets has over 300 passing yards in both of his starts. Last 4 weeks, Buffalo teams that face the Bills have 41 pass attempts per game. That's second most in the NFL. We expect them to be able to we expect them to have to throw against the Bills. Again, the Bills are big favorites here. I think, what do you say, it's 8.5?
I think it's ticked up to 9.5 now.
9.5, yeah. Okay.
Which seems a bit big and disrespectful to my
New York
Jets.
I'm telling you, Jets cover. I don't know if they win. I don't know if they win, but I think they absolutely cover the 9.5. Worth noting that over the last 4 weeks, the Bills are 28th against the pass.
Yep, like, and Von Miller is done.
Von Miller is done. So should be a cleaner pocket, certainly, for Mike White.
Yep. Okay, let's go to height. Let's start with Deshaun Watson, who did not look like an NFL quarterback against the Texans.
When people were booing Deshaun Watson last week, do you think they were booing him
as a man or as a guy who's short-arming passes?
Exactly. Yeah. That's the thing. Like, do you think they were booing, like, Deshaun Watson because of all the, you know, all the allegations against him?
I think it was just a cocktail of everything.
Right. Yeah.
And there was no one cheering for
anything.
Why do
we have to pick one?
Yeah.
Right. Or
yeah.
Is it just because, like, he set football back 30 years?
Yeah.
Like,
is it, very strange.
Either way. Whatever the reason for booing him, I think if you start him on your fantasy team this week, you will once again boo him against the Cincinnati Bengals. They allow touchdown passes at the fourth lowest rate. They've had one game this year. The Cincinnati Bengals have one game this entire season where they've allowed multiple touchdown passes. And then you think about the Browns last week, and just he looked awful.
He looked
like, how could you, in a week in which you most likely need to win to get into the playoffs, or at least, you know, to get a better seed, whatever. It's a crucial week for so many fantasy managers. How on earth could you trust that to what you saw last week?
Yeah, they're never going to do it, but honestly, they should go back to Jacoby Brissett for the rest of the season. Or maybe not the rest of the season, but I think Jacoby Brissett, I would project him to play at a higher level the rest of the season than Deshaun Watson. based on what Watson showed.
If you were still setting lines for a living, which is what you used to do, and Jacoby Brissett were starting, you would make the Browns, you would move the line more in Brown's favor if he was under center versus Watson.
No. What I would do this week is I would still treat Watson as better just for this week, because I think like one bad week is not going to have me write off Deshaun Watson. But if Watson's bad again, then the week after, when Cleveland, you know, and they have a relatively easy schedule.
But are you, when you're doing that, or when you did that, are you setting lines based on candidly what you think or what you think the public thinks?
No, purely what I think and okay. what you know we think as a trading team, like what we think the public will bet on doesn't influence line. For instance, like everyone's going to bet on the Vikings against right. Detroit. No one's going to bet on Detroit -2.5. Everyone's going to bet on the Vikings, but we don't skew the line because we know that people are going to bet. We just set it where the line should be on what we think, and then you just live with the consequences.
Okay, so, interesting. Yeah. Interesting, because I mean, right, you could like, right, you're like, well, everyone's going to think Watson's better. You know what I mean? Like Everyone assumes Minnesota's going to win, so we're going to make this Minnesota -2.5, even though our numbers say we think the Lions are...
Exactly. So you just put the number where
it should be. Put the number where it should be.
And with Deshaun, there is going to be huge variance based on how he plays against the Bengals, because he could just look like Deshaun Watson from Houston when he played for Houston, and not Deshaun Watson in Houston last week. So a lot to see there. But Tom Brady, I think we kind of know what Brady is this season. He's going to be a guy who throws a ton, doesn't get many yards per attempt, but is still vaguely... fantasy useful just because of the volume, but against San Francisco, not the matchup.
I mean, that's the key. Like, his drive last week to win the game, really impressive. He's still Tom Brady, but on the road at San Francisco, which is the number one defense in yards per game this season, they allow touchdown passes at the third lowest rate. There's only been three quarterbacks this entire year that have scored more than 14 points against the Niners, and two of them had a rushing touchdown. Which, listen, Tom can. There's no one better at the quarterback sneak than Tom Brady in NFL history. So if they get on the 1 yard line, could they do that? But it feels like this year, more often than not, they've been going to Fournette in that scenario. So he's my QB 16 in a week in which you have six teams on a bye. Not a lot of big name quarterbacks other than Justin Fields. Big name meaning like fantasy relevant. I mean, because Aaron Rodgers is on a bye, he's a big name, obviously. But yeah.
Yep.
Not so much.
Tom Brady, 3.5-point underdog to Brock Purdy. In 2022, it's unbelievable.
In this economy.
All right, we're going to go to break in this economy and come back with some Cam Akers chat.
I bet the Bucks there.
Yeah.
I like
the Bucks.
I'm not giving points to Brock Purdy against Tom Brady.
Still Tom Brady.
I'm not starting Brady on my fantasy team either.
The action never stops at BetMGM, Matthew. Sign up now using bonus code Berry. That's your name. And your first wager is risk-free, up to $1,000. Simply download the BetMGM app today or go to BetMGM.com and enter bonus code Berry, B-E-R-R-Y, to make your first wager risk-free up to $1,000. There is no risk. Matthew Berry. Let's talk Thursday Night Football.
And Berry, by the way, Berry is spelled B-E-R-R-Y.
I said that.
I did a quick Google search because I know you were wondering about this. And I thought, well, wonder what if maybe, as I'm starting to think through my drunk peacock idea, which I really like, and I'd still like, but NBC, I haven't run this by the powers that be at NBC. I haven't gone to the suits. But my wonder is, my fear is that maybe, like, listen, the Peacock is like, it's not just NBC Sports. It is NBC overall.
Yes.
The Peacock
universal.
Universal. Like, it is a symbol of our entire company.
Yeah.
We would prefer not to have a drunk, even if it's not the official Peacock, we'd prefer not to have a drunk Peacock. So if I can't get that past, I was trying to think, well, maybe it's a drunk cousin of the Peacock. So I was just like, what kind of bird is related to the Peacock?
Yeah.
Do you know?
No, I don't. Okay.
I will tell
Enlighten
you.
Enlighten me.
This is according to Google. Pheasants,
partridges,
turkeys, and grouse. I don't even know what a grouse is.
I have no idea what a grouse is. I wouldn't be able to identify a
but
partridge.
But, like, a drunk turkey is pretty funny.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, like, another Thanksgiving and I survived. Woo-hoo! Like, come on.
It would have been hilarious if you'd taken that to NBC Legal, and they're like, we absolutely can't do a drunk peacock, but we can do a drunk turkey, Matthew. Well, you take the drunk turkey instead.
I like the fact that you think I won't do this. That
yeah.
that I won't take this.
No,
NBC
it'll be
legal.
Tough. No.
I will absolutely. You have no. I don't think you don't know me that well yet. You have no idea.
Yeah,
when I get an idea.
Yeah. You got so. NBC. You want a segment four? How about you give me a
Exactly right. Yeah. That's exactly right.
All right. Well, we got segment four right now. Let's talk. Let's spend 13 minutes talking about Cam Akers. Thursday Night Football preview. Raiders at the Rams, -6.5. Total is down to 42.5 on BetMGM. And I think, honestly, the biggest fantasy question is about our man Cam Akers. He's starting him, or what are we doing with Cam Akers?
Hopefully not. I mean, here's the positives. If you're looking for some positives, Cam Akers, or you're stuck, you're in a jam, and I'm like, I'm going to roll out the dice. Like, he's had at least 14 rushing attempts in two of the last three games. Obviously, he had the 19 fantasy points last week, helped out by the two touchdowns, and played 72% of the snaps of the game in week 13. So all those are positive. 72% of the snaps, the two touchdowns, the 19 fantasy points. On the other hand, the 19 fantasy points, like the previous six games, he had 16.9 points combined. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, right, that he had less points in six games combined than he did last week. And even though he played 72% of the snaps in week 13, he had less than 40% in the previous six games. Worth noting that the Rams never trailed by more than 4 points until the final minute of the game last week. They were competitive in this game. Could they potentially, probably not going to be blown out, but honestly, like, the Raiders' offense is playing well. Davante Adams is another level. Josh Jacobs is another level. Like, Carr's playing well. So he's my running back 29. I suppose if you're starting a Rams running back, it is likely Cam Akers. But he got a ton of work last week, and now they're on a short week. I mean, I think I am starting him only in a desperate emergency situation. I am hopefully for you guys, you have a better option than Cam Akers. I am not optimistic. But, okay. You know, again, listen, it's a decent matchup against Las Vegas, you know.
I won't spoil my best bet, but I think Cam Akers will be serviceable tonight.
Interesting.
Let's talk about Rams pass catches, because we have to. Right. I'm just looking now.
By the way, when you say Cam Akers will be serviceable tonight.
Yeah.
I will tell you this. That is a line I have used with my wife more than once.
Yeah, I'll be serviceable tonight.
I will be serviceable tonight.
Oh, boy.
I will be your Cam Akers.
I'll be your Cam Akers, darling.
Like, listen, yeah. Don't doll yourself up. Don't go to any trouble. Don't worry about it. Because it's like, you know.
It's in a Cam Akers performance.
You can keep your diary on the shelf. You're not going to need to write home about this.
But yeah.
I'll be serviceable.
I'll give you 17 carries. Exactly. Might only give you 39 yards.
Yeah, I'm not going to be super efficient. I'm not going to be super efficient.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, we're going to grind this out.
Yeah.
I'm going to grind it out.
Oh, boy. All right, the only way to segue from that is to talk about Van Jefferson, Tyler Higbee, Ben Skowronek, Tutu Atwell. Any pass catches?
No.
The highest
pass
catcher.
The only guy that's interesting is Higbee to an extent, just because the Raiders allow the sixth most fantasy points to opposing tight ends. But here's what we talked about this in the opening segment. I don't even know who's throwing the ball.
Yeah.
There is a non-zero chance that we see Baker Mayfield not only play in this game tonight, but start this game. I don't know what percentage chance that is. It seems crazy to me that he could, that I would, like, if Wofford can't go, why you wouldn't just go to Bryce Perkins? You know what I mean? But, like, it's out there. That is a rumor that is out there.
It's
very
strange.
It's been reported, by reasonably credible people.
What's the rush? Like, what's the rush? The season's over. You're going to get this guy killed out there. He doesn't know the playbook.
You know, I apologize. I know I've seen a couple of different alerts on that, so I don't know exactly who's reported, but I've seen it from credible sources.
I suspect that, look, they're saying that if he physically can't go.
This is Schefter. Schefter. Source, Rams want to go through pregame warmups tonight and see how John Wolford, who is listed as questionable with a neck injury, is doing before deciding who will start at quarterback. If Wolford is not healthy enough to play, Baker Mayfield would be in line to start versus the Raiders. Again, that's Schefter from 10 o'clock this morning. Like, Schefter knows the Rams. Like, he's not coming up with that out of the blue.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
Who knows what, again, Baker Mayfield made DJ Moore bad, so why do we suddenly think he's going to elevate Van Jefferson or Tutu Atwell or Ben Skowronek or whoever?
I'll tell you why. Carolina's offense, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. There's nothing there for anyone in Carolina's offense, and now he gets Sean McVay. And for this game, at least, look, I think Baker against a really good pass rush with that offensive line is going to be in huge trouble in LA, but the Raiders have basically the worst pass rush in football. So, look, Baker with Sean McVay, and look, I mean, you wish that the Rams had a single receiver who had a higher receiving prop than 35.5 receiving yards, right, which is the case right now with Van Jefferson leading the way, and Ben Skowronek second with 28.5. So it's going to be grim. It's going to be grim, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Rams are able to at least keep pace with the Raiders for a little while.
It'd be interesting. Like, I don't mind the waiver claim on Baker Mayfield. We talked about this the other day. Like, again, I think there's a non-zero chance Matthew Stafford retires after this year.
Yep.
I mean, like, you know, I mean, he's got his ring. He's beat up. Like,
Baker, like, he was the number one pick. He had an amazing college career. He was fantastic in college. His kind
he's
of advanced
stats. He's
had
some success in the pros.
He's had two really good years in Cleveland. His rookie year and then his third year. And then I think the second year was the weird Freddie Kitchens year. And then last year he was banged up and playing through a torn labrum. And then this year he gets late to Carolina. It's Carolina. They're a disaster. They fire the coach. Like, if you want to talk yourself into Baker Mayfield being useful, you can do it.
And Baker Mayfield had this awful offseason where are the Browns bringing him back? Yep. Are they not? They're in the Watson sweepstakes. They don't know, blah, 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 blah. You know, and then eventually, you know, like, so, and they tried to trade him. And, like,
there's some hope. Probably not for tonight, but maybe.
Probably
maybe
not for tonight. I mean, listen, if you're playing DFS, if you're playing a one-game DFS slate, and, like, you know, just you want to be contrarian in, like, a big field, like, you know, I don't, stranger things have happened.
Tell you what, it makes the game more interesting. Because if Baker Mayfield's out there, like, it's kind of fun. Because you got Devontae Adams and Josh Jacobs on one side, and then Baker Mayfield wearing a Rams jersey.
I will tell you that, you know, not that this means anything, but I will tell you, for whatever it's worth, that I interviewed Baker Mayfield when he was a rookie. And I've interviewed, you know, I go to the NFLPA rookie premiere every single year. The NFLPA, great friends of the show, great friends to me. They're so gracious. And they invite me every year, and I get to interview, like, basically the top 40 rookies every single season. And there are some that I'm just like, oh, this guy's, I'm not a fan.
Yep.
Baker was, like, I really liked the guy. And I went in not, like, being a huge fan. And when I was done, I was just like, dude, I love, like, he's a super likable guy. Like, he's a charming guy. I don't know. So I'm rooting for him. Like, you know, I do think he's gotten a bit of a bad shake here. But it'll make the game more interesting fun tonight. But, yes, we think that, like, there's not much on the Rams fantasy-wise that you feel good about here.
No. Going to the Raiders, any Raiders that you're starting besides Adams and Jacobs?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple ones. I mean, first off, I think Mac Hollins is kind of interesting. Interesting is relative, okay? He's my wide receiver 41, so let's be clear here.
Yes.
But in a week with six teams on a bye, you may not have the depth you need. And so Mac Hollins, who's had 11 or more fantasy points in four of the last seven games, nine targets in two of the past three, Rams, worth noting, are the third worst pass defense in the NFL. Yes, they're the third worst pass defense in the past 4 weeks.
Yep.
Like, you know, so Mac Hollins, I don't think he's going to see a lot of Jalen Ramsey tonight, you know, just in terms of where he lines up and where Ramsey plays. So Mac Hollins, you know, all he needs is sort of one play. Also, Foster Moreau is, again, if you need a tight end streamer, he's scored in two of the last four games. He's had a 15% target share since Darren Waller went down since week eight. Now, again, he's, like most tight ends, he's touchdown dependent. He's had under 35 yards in three straight games. But if you're looking for a touchdown, again, he's scored in two of the last four.
One day we should talk about the levels of interesting from, like, Mac Hollins to, like, Dante's Inferno to the Godfather Part II.
Yeah, I mean,
where's Mac Hollins right?
Right. I mean, I'm probably lower than Dante's Inferno.
Okay.
If I'm being clear here. Who was I talking to? I was talking to someone the other day. I was on the Dan Le Batard show. So I did an interview with my old colleague, Dan Le Batard, and so I was on his podcast, and we were talking about this. And we were talking about the fact that, like, you know, just every single conversation I have, because the guys on a show, like Stu Gotts and the guys, they wanted to have a fantasy football conversation. Who do we start this week? Who do we want? And Dan, who's not a big fantasy player, was like, I don't want to talk about any of that. I want to talk about the move to NBC. I want to talk about you and your career. And so we had a whole thing about just how my whole every conversation I have is that. And so my point is that, yeah, like, you run out of ways to talk about Mac Hollins, at week 14.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It is what it is.
Well, let's stop talking about Mac Hollins. Let's do Last Call.
Okay.
Let's talk about the most bet props on BetMGM tonight. No surprise, Devontae Adams to score first touchdown, plus 400. Brandon Powell, that's not super inspiring, to score any time touchdown at plus 375, and Devontae Adams, the over on his receiving prop.
I don't mind a small bet on
89.5.
That. I mean, Brandon Powell at 375, like, for an anytime touchdown?
Yeah.
I don't mind that.
Plus 375.
Obviously.
A bit funky.
Yeah.
A little frisky.
Yeah.
Some Brandon Powell.
What do you got for tonight?
My best bet. It's your man. Cam Akers.
Yeah.
Over 45 and a half rushing yards. Let's go. 45 and a half for a guy who played 72% of the snaps last week. He had 17 carries. Also, like, he's not been that efficient, but he looks healthier than he has for basically since the injury 2 years ago. So I think Cam Akers against the really bad Raiders defense, he's going to get carries. They're not going to throw Baker or Wolf. They're not going to have him throw 50 times. I think he is the guy in the backfield. 45.5 is a really low number for a number one running back against the Raiders.
I'm going to take the under.
Okay.
Just for
let's go head to head.
Let's do it. Just head to head.
Yeah.
We'll do it.
Let's have some chicken fingers.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll
put some. So I'll just give me. I'm going to go Derek Carr.
Okay.
Give me Derek Carr over 1.5 touchdowns. He's thrown at least 2 in 5 straight games. Rams have given up 3 touchdown passes in 2 of their past 3 games. Davante Adams could easily catch 2 himself. And then I'm also going Carr over 249.5 passing yards. So over 1.5 touchdowns, over 249 passing yards. He's gone over this number 4 of the last 5 games. The one game he didn't, he had 248.
Yep.
So 249.5, I think, is too low. Last 3 quarterbacks to face the Rams all threw for over 250 yards in this one as well. And then finally, you know me. You know what I love?
The kickers.
Kicker props. Give me Daniel Carlson over 1.5 field goals. He's made 2 or more in 4 of the past 5.
I like the Derek Carr over in particular. I think I think the market is just overthinking it. Like, it's still Derek Carr in a dome with throwing to Davante Adams, who's playing like the best wide. Davante Adams almost cashed that prop over by himself last
game's
week.
Game's in LA, so it's a half dome.
Yeah,
but still, right. We expect that.
It's dome adjacent.
It's dome adjacent.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Exactly. Sometimes my wife is dome adjacent. I'm not even sure what that means. Thank God it's closing time, which means you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. You got to get the hell out of here. I'm going to go pitch my drunk peacock idea to NBC executives. For Jay Croucher, I'm Matthew Berry. Thanks so much for tuning in. Good luck in week 14. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace out.